Okay, so so tonight's chavura, we're going to, in Mirtz Hashem, be starting our next malacha, which is the malacha of Kosev. Kosev is the last malacha that basically comes up in our Perek Habona. So Mirtz Hashem, till Pesach, which is not so much time left, we're going to work on Kosev. Then in Mirtz Hashem, after Pesach, we'll finish up Mochek, and then we'll move on to the next Perek, which is Perek HaOreg. So that's the game plan. Fine, so tonight's shiur, we're going to Mirtz Hashem break it down into two parts, just to kick off the principles of Malachas Kosev. And as is always the case with all the Malachos, the first shiur is more theoretical, setting down the principles. Then in Mirtz Hashem, starting the next shiur, we'll start jumping into all the practical contemporary shilas that come up, which will be in 2 weeks. I don't know if next week, if anyone wants to be Mekayim the Adol Yod a little early, might not be a good idea to have shiur. Fine. So let's start from the beginning. The Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the second Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, tells us where Malachas Kosev took place in the Mishkan. It tells us that it took place with the Krashim. The Krashim were the beams that comprised the walls of the Mishkan. The Mishnah tells us that they needed to, when they disassembled the Mishkan, they needed to know which beams go where when they would reassemble it. And so they would label the different krashim to know which beam goes where. And so that act of writing on the krashim serves as the paradigm for the av malacha of Malachas Kosev. So that is the original source of Malachas Kosev in the Mishkan. And that then creates for us our next av malacha, which is the malacha of Kosev. Now, the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the second Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, which is our Mishnah, so to speak, our next Mishnah in Perek Avona, brings a big time machlokes tanoim concerning the yesod of Malachas Kosev. It also appears again in the subsequent piece of Gemara on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph to Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. There's a big brisa which elaborates more in the tanoim, and there's a major machlokes tanoim between basically all the tanoim versus Rabbi Yossi as to what exactly is the yesod of Malachas Kosev. What exactly is the Av Malacha? So starting with the Shita of the Chachamim, we'll call it the Shita's Chachamim, all the Tanam that argue on Rabbi Yossi. The Chachamim hold that the Yesod of Malachas Kosev is writing letters or writing numbers. In other words, writing language components of language, which have intrinsic significance. That is the basic Av Malacha of Malachas Kosev. That's the Shita of the Chachamim. And the Mishnah brings Rabbi Yossi, who argues and says that no, actually the Yesod of Malachas Kosev is not limited. It's not limited to writing components of language like letters or numbers, but rather even if a person just makes marks, even making marks that serve some significance, that symbolize or signify something, is also included in Malachas Kosev. And so he says that really the Malach of Kosev is Roshem. Roshem meaning to make marks. That's the real Yesod of the Malach. And Rabbi Yossi says that I'll show you I'm right, because this is exactly what took place in the Mishkan. As we just pointed out, where was Kosev in the Mishkan? When they would label the different beams to match them up, when they would reconstruct the Mishkan. Well, in that situation, they weren't writing words, they weren't writing sentences. And so we see that the Yesod of Malachas Kosev is not Kosev per se, it's not writing words and letters and language components. Rather, it's Roshem. Anytime you make a mark to signify something, to symbolize something, that's also included in the Malacha. So that's the Yesod Machlokas Tanaim that kicks off Malachas Kosev. What is the Yesod of the Malacha? Writing language components like the Chachamim, or making marks like Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, Daniel.
Sorry, is there just a Matzias question here? I just want to make sure I understand you quickly, because is the question, like the marks that they made on the Krashim, were they actual numbers?
Excellent.
Is this just a Matzias question?
That's exactly where we're going to head. So let's analyze that together in a second. Let me just, before we get to Daniel's point, so let me just point out a nafkamina just to help appreciate more the difference between these two shitas. The Gemara on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, I kind of forgot to put this on the Marmakomos, but the first piece of Gemara on the Mishnah points out a basic nafkamina lahalacha between these two approaches, and that is like this. Let's say a person decides to write with his left hand. Let's say he's a righty and he writes with his left hand, or whatever your inferior hand is, a person writes with the left, less dominant hand. What's the halacha in that situation? So the Gemara indicates that working with the Shita of the Chachamim, that the Yisod of the Malacha is Kosev, is writing words, is writing letters, writing language components. So if you write with your left hand, your inferior hand, that is going to be considered to be Kelachar Yad. We know that there's a basic principle. If you do the Malacha in an awkward, backhanded manner, so that's not going to be Aser Deraisa. The Malachos need to be performed in a productive manner. If you perform it in an awkward, backhanded manner, Kelachar Yad, that's not going to be Aser Deraisa. Says the Gemara, according to the Chachamim, if you write with your inferior hand, that's an awkward way of writing letters. That's not going to be subject to Kosev Midaraisa. On the other hand, the Gemara brings Rav Yaakov, Brei de Bas Yaakov, I think it's an Amora, who spells out, it's an Amora who spells out explicitly that according to Rav Yossi, really, even if you write with your weaker hand, that's still going to be subject to the Malacha on a Deraisa level. Because according to Rav Yossi, the really Yisod of the Malacha is just making marks. It doesn't have to be letters. It doesn't have to be numbers. Any mark that signifies something is the Malacha. And relative to writing marks, a person can just as easily write it with his weaker hand as with his stronger hand. It's just as comfortable to make a quick mark with your less dominant hand as with your stronger hand. And so that's not going to be called Kalachar Yad. That's going to be Aser Deraisa. So that's just an afkamina, just to start appreciating the difference between the Chachamim versus Rabbi Yossi. And now we come to the question that Daniel posed, which is what's the hesber in this machlokas on a derivational level, right? Everyone agrees that the malacha has to be derived from the Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, there was some form of writing that took place. And the question becomes, what is the hesber in this machlokas as to if the malacha is writing or making marks? Are they arguing in Mitzias? Are they arguing over what took place in the Mishkan? What's the point of contention in this machlokas? Okay, any questions? Okay, so just to get the ball rolling, one could suggest, which I'm sure Daniel will agree we don't want to say, but one could suggest that there's a historical machlokas, that the machlokas is what took place in the Mishkan. The Chachamim are saying that in the Mishkan, they wrote letters, and Rabbi Yossi would be saying that in the Mishkan, they made marks. And so each of these different Tanoim derived their shittos based on a different understanding of what the history was. If they wrote letters, then the Malacha becomes writing letters, like the Chachamim. If they just made marks to match up the beams, so then the Malacha would be Roshim. That could be a theoretical suggestion that one could propose to explain this machlokes. But it's obviously not so appealing to just make it a historical machlokes, just open up, I guess, some biographies or, about the Mishkan, get the Arshkol Mishkan book and just figure out what they did back in the day. So the question is if there's a more meaningful way of understanding this machlokes. So Rav Parnas had a beautiful way of explaining this machlokes based off a diuk in Rashi on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. I put on the Mar Makomos, Rashi and Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, and Rav Parnas made a careful observation in the Rashi, in which he used to set up a much more analytical way of explaining this machlokas. Rav Parnas pointed out that if you take a careful look at Rashi on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, on the Mishnah of Kosev, and on the Mishnah of the Lametes Malachos, Rashi, if you look at it carefully, is describing the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. He talks about making marks. And in the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rashi says explicitly that they wrote letters in the Mishkan, that even according to Rabbi Yossi, they were writing letters in the Mishkan when they matched up the beams. I'm not going to read Rashi inside just for the sake of time, but if you look up Rashi afterwards from the Mar Makomos, Rashi talks about Roshem, which is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, making marks. And in the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rashi spells out that they wrote letters in the Mishkan. And so Parnas inferred from here that everyone's going to agree to the history. There's no historical machlokas. Everyone agrees that they wrote letters in the Mishkan. The question is going to be how to make the derivation from the Mishkan. So that's the starting diuk that we're making, that everyone agrees to the history, they wrote letters. The question is going to be how to derive from the Mishkan. What's the point of contention? So Parnas explained as follows. He said that if you think it through, there's really a duality to what took place in the Mishkan. That when they wrote letters to match up the beams of the Mishkan, if you think about it carefully, there's a duality to what was taking place. On the one hand, if you focus on the Maisa, if you focus on the activity that took place, so they were doing an act of writing letters. They're doing an act of writing letters, which are language components. But if you don't look at the Maisa, don't focus on the act that they did. If you look at the Tachlis, what was the purpose of that writing? The purpose of the writing in the Mishkan was not to communicate, was not to write words and language. The purpose was to make marks, was to match up and label the beams. And so the question is going to be a halachic machlokas. How do we make a derivation from the Mishkan? When we have this duality that took place in the Mishkan, how do we derive from the Mishkan? The Chachamim are going to hold that we make a derivation based on the Maisa. We look at the activity that took place in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the act was writing letters. That characterizes the malacha. It's a malacha of writing letters. That's the shita of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that we don't look at the Maisa, we look at the Tachlis. What was the purpose of that activity? The purpose of that writing was not to communicate, was not to write language. The purpose was just to mark things off, to make aleph and beis, in order to mark off the krashim to match them up. So that then characterizes the malacha, says Rabbi Yossi. We focused on the tachlis. The tachlis was to make marks, and so that then defines the malacha as a malacha of roshem. So that was the Rupanis' beautiful hezber in this machlokas. There's no machlokas in metzias. There's no machlokas in history. It's a machlokas, a halachic machlokas, how to make a derivation from the Mishkan. Yeah, Daniel.
Well, so, a second. Even if we say that, I don't understand how you could have an act of making marks that's not intended to tell you something. That's the exact point. I'm making these marks to indicate which beams go together. Its whole purpose is tachlis oriented. So I'm not sure I understand the distinction you're describing. Second of all, is there any other precedent in Shabbos where a malacha is its act separate from its purpose? All Shabbos is malachas mar Shabbos. It's an action I do with an intent to accomplish a particular goal. Right, so how can you separate those two things, or at least is there a precedent in Shabbos that we have something like that?
I'm just saying, typically speaking, you know, with the other malachas, you take baking, which they did in the Mishkan, or borer that they did in the Mishkan, so they did an act of separation and it accomplished separating ochel from solus. They did an act of baking and it accomplished baking of bread. I'm saying we don't have this type of machlokas by other malachas because we don't find this divide by the malachas. Rupanis pointed out that we have a unique situation here that Rashi is spelling out, that they did a certain act, but it wasn't meant for language. They did an act of writing letters, but it wasn't meant for the sake of writing letters.
What was the point of writing those letters, if not to tell you what to do with the question?
Yeah, they just wanted to know which keresh goes where when they rebuild the Mishkan. So they put Aleph Yer Beis there.
That's exactly what that does. It's telling you something.
No, but it's not language. It's not. They just as well as could have made a mark. They could have made a smiley face. It's just that they wrote an aleph and a beis. It wasn't meant to build words and sentences. It wasn't meant to communicate. It was just meant to signify something. Rabbi Yossi agrees that if you make a stam mark, you just make a scratch and it's not serving a purpose. That's not a malacha either. He's adding on top of the Chachamim that marks that signify something are a malacha. The Chachamim hold that stam a mark, even if it signifies something, is not a malacha. You have to write letters or numbers, language. You have to write parts, you know, components of language. So, yeah.
Kind of, could I interject a little bit?
Yeah, I'm sorry, what did you say?
So are you saying that according to the Chachamim, that if I draw a smiley face, that's not kosef on a deraisa level? What makes it not language if it's telling you something? If I draw an arrow, right, a left arrow, that's telling you, that's language.
Okay, so Scott's asking a very good question. Scott's asking, if you draw a smiley face, so what would the Chachamim say about a smiley face? The answer to that is as follows. We're going to see that a tolda of kosev, and I'll spell that out now, the tolda of kosev, the Rambam spells out, is making pictures. Making a picture is going to be a tolda of kosev. Why is making a picture a tolda of kosev in contrast to making marks? Meaning if I make a smiley face, that's going to be a tolda of kosev as opposed to making a mark. So Rupanis basically explained that a picture also has intrinsic significance. A mark is a superficial writing that has no intrinsic significance that you're ascribing significance to. I make a mark, and to me, I understand that it means something to me. There's no intrinsic significance. Language has intrinsic significance. A, B, C, Aleph, Beis, Gimel. There's intrinsic meaning to language, and pictures also have intrinsic meanings. A smiley face connotes the fact that you're very happy. There's certain intrinsic significance to a picture. In contrast to marks are something that there's no significance to. It's just a line. But it means something. I know that if there's a line here, there's a line there, so they match up. It's extrinsic significance. So that's how Rupanis explained that point. So it's a very good question, and it's a subtle answer. Daniel's not gonna like. Okay.
No. Meaning, so if I write a Chinese character and I don't speak Chinese, then that doesn't have any intrinsic. No language has intrinsic significance.
I just want to point out that Rabbi Rubia has Chinese letters in Malachas Kosev to try to ask that exact question. What is the halacha with writing Chinese letters? In Achanami, that is a fair question, which has to be assessed. There is an issue of which, there happens to be there's a discussion a little bit about which language is subject to Malachas Kosev. Just to say a quick hashgafic point, there's a shita out there that says that Malachas Kosev only applies to Lashon HaKodesh, and it happens to do with the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh, that the truth of the matter is Lashon HaKodesh is the only language that has intrinsic, real intrinsic meaning. Meaning we're pointing out a lot of shades of significance to writing. A mark has extrinsic significance, a smiley face, ABC have intrinsic significance. Lashon HaKodesh is the only language that has absolute intrinsic significance. The word kelev, a dog, kelev, like your heart. Lashon HaKodesh is the meanings of the words has intrinsic deep significance. This is something that Daniel and Josh Rubenstein can discuss at Hashkafic venue about the godless of Lashon HaKodesh. And so in a Hanami, I'm saying there are a lot of shades of significance. How significant does it need to be a violation of Malachas Kosev? Most Rishonim don't hold that way, but I'm just responding to your point by saying, yes, you're right. There are different levels of significance. Okay, so maybe we should keep going though. The point is well taken. It's food for thought. Fine, so just to quickly summarize, so with that, we've concluded part one of tonight's shir. We're kicking off Malachas Kosev with the Yesod Machlokes Chachamim versus Rabbi Yossi. What exactly is the Malacha? The Chachamim say it's about writing components of language, writing that has intrinsic significance, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, or also pictures. Pictures are a tolda because they also have intrinsic significance. According to the Chachamim, Pashtis, making stam a mark is not going to be chayiv at all. Maybe it'll be usher de rabbanan. It's not going to be usher de reisa. Rabbi Yossi is arguing, saying that no, even making marks that have extrinsic significance, I'm ascribing significance to the mark. I'm using it as a simon to signify something for myself, to know what page to turn, to match things up. That also is included in the malacha. We discussed the nafkamina is kalach rayat. If you use your left hand, would that be a violation mid reisa? We discussed the hezber, how you make a derivation from the Mishkan, whether you go based on the Maisa in the Mishkan or based on the Tachlis in the Mishkan. So that is part one of tonight's shir. Just to point out the Halacha Maisa, so the Bir Halacha basically spells out that it sounds like most Mefarish and Paskin like the Chachamim, but at the end he throws in a Knesset Sagadolo who says that a Yarei Shemayim should be Choshish for the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. So Halacha Maisa seems to be mainly go with the Shita's Chachamim, but I guess the Yarei Shemayim, at least the Knesset Sagadola's definition of Yarei Shemayim, which is probably beyond all of us, should be choshesh for the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Fine. So let's move over now to the second part of tonight's shir, which is progressing in developing the principles of Malachas Kosev. We're going to work now with the Shita's Chachamim, which is basically, I guess, maybe we don't have so much fear of heaven, but the main Shita in the books for the rest of the Sugya. And now we're going to move over to the next part of tonight's discussion, which is as follows. The question becomes now, what's the shir? How many letters do you need to write? How much do you have to write in order to violate the malacha of Kosev? So that's going to be part two of tonight's shir. So the Mishnah on Daf Ein Gimel Amud Aleph and our Mishnah again on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph both spell out that the minimum number of letters you need to write to violate the malacha of Kosev is shtei osios. You have to write two letters minimum to be chayiv deraisa for the malacha of Kosev. And what we're going to be focusing on now is to analyze the nature of that requirement. Where is this requirement to write a minimum of two letters coming from to violate the malacha of Kosev? So, fine. So in order to develop this issue, we're going to move over now to Akasha of Tosos and Ein Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosos and Daf Ein Gimel Amud Aleph raises a problem with the Mishnah there and Ein Gimel, and it's going to spark a whole shakla v'tariya in the Achronim that's going to result in two different mahalchim, how to understand what's the yesod of this requirement for shtei osios to violate Malachas Kosev. Fine. So moving over to the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Gimel. So as we know, the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Gimel gives us our list of the Lamites Malachos. And Tosfos makes an observation. He points out that there's something strange about how the Mishnah presents five of the Malachos in contrast to the other 34. Tosfos observes that by five of the malachos, the Mishnah spells out the shir together with the malacha. It tells us the malacha and how much you need to do to violate the malacha. The example that we're going to focus on is the malacha of Kosev. When the Mishnah tells us this one of the 39 malachos, it doesn't just say Kosev. It says Kosev shtei osios, writing two letters. It includes the shir together with the malacha. And so it does with four other of the malachos. In contrast to that, Tosfos observes that by the other 34 malachos, the Mishnah doesn't spell out the shir. Although just about every malacha has a minimum amount you need to perform to be chayiv, to have a full-fledged violation. But the Mishnah doesn't spell it out. By bishul, you need to cook a minimum of a grogeris, a dried fig, to violate the malacha. The Mishnah just says ha'ofe, just says baking. It doesn't tell us the shear of bishul. And so it is with the, you know, 34 other malachos, it doesn't say the shear. So frak tosfos, what's the distinction? Why by five of them it spells out the shear, by the other 34, it doesn't spell out the shear? That's the kasha of tosfos. And Tosfos doesn't answer this question. Tosfos leaves off without an answer. But the Achronim come along and they want to suggest an answer to Tosfos' kasha. They're led by the Magen Avos. The Magen Avos and a number of Achronim, the Avnei Nezer and others, want to suggest an answer to Tosfos' kasha. And this is going to open up a yesodistic analysis now of the nature of the requirement of shiurim by the different malacha. What's the nature of this need to do a certain minimum amount to violate the different malachos? So the Achronim say as follows. When it comes to the other 34 malachos, like bishul, borer, etc., the need for a minimum amount to violate the malacha is typically understood as a requirement for significance. It's a din in chashivas, that if you cook a minuscule piece of meat, although you're technically doing an act of bishul, it is a maisa bishul, but it's not a significant activity. You're not doing a significant act. The need for a certain minimum amount is to achieve significance. Once you reach an amount of a gergeris, a dried fig, so that's rendered a significant act. That's why you need a certain shear to violate the malacha. That's the typical understanding of the need for a shear by the other 34 malachos. And the truth is that it's not limited to Hilchos Shabbos. This is the typical understanding in Kol Torah Kula. In many averos in the Torah, so you have to perform a certain amount to be chayiv by machalas asurus. If you eat non-kosher, you want to get malchus, so you have to eat a certain amount. What's the reason that you have to eat a certain amount? So again, it's based on this idea that you need significance. If you eat just a minuscule amount, it's technically a maisa avera. You didn't act that was inappropriate. But you didn't do a significant act. That's the typical understanding of shiurim, really in Kol Torah Kula, at least by Isser Veheter. Now, in contrast to that, the Achronim pose a shaila, they pose a chakira. How do we understand the nature of the shiurim by these five malachos that were delineated with the shiur in our Mishnah? And we're going to focus on the malacha of Kosev. Kosev is our malacha we're working on, so we'll just talk in terms of the malacha of Kosev. This requirement, right, a minimum of two letters to violate the malach of Kosev, what is the nature of that requirement? So Yachronim pose a chakira. Anyone want to just jump in and guess the chakira before I spell it out? Okay, so the chakira goes like this. Possibly number one is that maybe the requirement for malachas Kosev is the same as all the other malachos, just like the other malachos have a requirement to have a certain significance to be chayiv. So to buy kosev, you need two letters to do a significant act. Maybe technically writing one letter is a maisa ksiva, it's an act of writing, but it's not a significant act. You need to do a minimum of two letters so we can render it a significant activity. That is one possibility for how to look at the shear of shtei osios. And if we would work with this first possibility, so then Tosfos's kasha would be a very strong question. If the nature of the shear by kosev is the same as the nature of the shear of the other 34 malachos, so why would the Mishnah spell out the shear of Kosev as opposed to the other 34 malachos? It's all the same requirement. Why would we find a distinction in the Mishnah? And so based on this Nakuda, the Achronim now move over to a second side in the Chakira. They pose a second possibility to answer up the Kasha of Tosfos. The Achronim suggest that maybe the requirement for two letters is not just going to be an extrinsic requirement for the sake of significance. It's not a din in Chashivas. What is the requirement of two letters? They say that it's part of the tsuras hamalacha, meaning maybe it's part of the very definition, the very fabric of the malacha. Maybe the Torah's concept of malachas kosev is writing two letters. If you don't write two letters, that's not called an act of writing. Writing means writing a minimum of two letters. That's the definition of the malacha. It's the tsura of the malacha. If you write one letter, you're not doing a maisa of kosev. It's not an act of malachas kosev. So that is the second possibility that Achronim tried to pose, that the reason you need two letters is not just for a significance. It's not pshat that one letter is a malacha technically, just you need two letters to make it a chashuva act. One letter is a zero. One letter is not a maisa malacha. You need two letters to be defined as a malacha. That's just the definition of the malacha. If you accept this second possibility, the Achronim point out, that would resolve the question of Tosfos, because now we very well understand why the Mishnah may spell out the shear by kosev in contrast to the other malachos. because the Mishnah is coming to list the 39 malachos. That's the point of the Mishnah, just to tell me what are the lamites of his malachos. But when it comes to Kosev, part of the malacha is the shir. The malacha is writing two letters. Two letters is part of the definition of the malacha. So the Mishnah spelled out the shir together with the malacha. And so it is maybe with the other four malachas that were listed with the shir, like Oreg and Shtei Batinirim, etc. The other four malachas, maybe the shir is a part of the intrinsic fabric of the malacha. So that's why the Mishnah, it's telling you what the malachas are. What the malachas are includes the shir by these five malachos. This is in contrast to the other 34 malachos, where the Mishnah didn't say the shir, because that's not part of the definition of the malacha. Even if you cook less than a gorgeris, that's still an act of bishul. The need for a gorgeris is not part of the definition of cooking. It's just that it's not a significant act. There's an extrinsic need to add on more shir to make it a significant act. The Mishnah didn't bother listing that because that's not part of the definition of the malacha. So that's the shtickle Torah that the Achronim suggest to answer the kasha of Tosfos. Okay, Aryeh.
And this might just be a specific question to Bishul, but we also have a different shear of Bishul by how much something has to be cooked, right? And that's a machlokas also.
Okay, so we do have a requirement how much it has to be cooked. That more gets into just the, right, that would be part of the definition of Bishul. I think you should have said Hamavashal, you know, Machlob and Jusoy, or something like that, you're saying.
Right, that's a required shear to be over malacha of bishul.
Okay, so
right?
Ari is asking an interesting question, which is there is another aspect of malacha of bishul, which is intrinsic to the malacha, and the Mishnah didn't spell it out. That's an interesting question. It happens to be, you should know that we taka back in the day, we had a chakira, the malacha of bishul, if you remember, I don't know, but the first shear we gave in bishul was whether the malacha is the act of putting it on, the maisa, just there's a tanai that it cook. Or is that part of the whole definition of the malacha? We actually had a chakir whether the need for the cooking, if that's intrinsic to the malacha, or more of a tanai. So I wonder if your suggestion might be a raya one side in that chakira. But okay, that was nice shtickle Torah there. Okay, yeah, Yassis. Just want to quickly wish a mazel tov to Yassis. He had a baby a few weeks ago, so mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
Thank you so much. So I'm just wondering, once we're no longer talking about the significance of the writing, and what is the reason that the definition is two letters? Is it because in the Mishkan they would have one letter to match up to the other letter, so that's two letters?
Okay.
Or is there another reason?
Okay, Yas is asking a tremendous question, which happens to be very, very important, which is where do we come up with two letters from? I'm just worried, I don't know if I can give appropriate cover to that question. It's a very good question. Where do two letters come from? One could suggest, what Rabbi Sachs suggested, that the need for two letters is based on the fact that in Lashon HaKodesh, no word has one letter. Every word in Lashon HaKodesh has two letters. There happens to be, I saw Rav Nevensal also say the same Yisod, and he asks that in Parshas Hazinu, there's a hey that is kind of read as one word, but he points out that it's not really meant to be one word, so that's the Galus of Rav Nevensal. But there are Klal Rav Sachs pointed out that every letter in Lashon HaKodesh has two letters. And so it could be that the malach was defined in a way where it's conceivable to write a word. Even if you don't necessarily have to write the word, the Torah set up the malach in a way that you have the basic components of a word, even if you don't spell a word, but you have the components necessary for a word. So that would be an off-the-cuff answer to your question. The question is very good, and I'm not giving enough cover to the kasha, but that's an off-the-cuff answer to the question.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Right in the Mishkan, weren't they lining up the aleph to aleph and base to base? So that's
okay.
Two letters.
Okay, so Yassis is now asking in the Mishkan.
But I was wondering, unless that's a coincidence. In this
okay, so Yassis is asking a very good question. I'm going to also answer this in 90 seconds. I'm going to say a lot in 90 seconds just to answer the question. But I can't give enough credit to it. Yassis is asking, in the Mishkan, didn't they write two letters? So let's learn it out from the Mishkan. So there's a big discussion in the poskim whether we can derive the shiurim from the Mishkan. We learn out what the malacha is from the Mishkan. Do we learn the shiurim from the Mishkan? So the Rishonim typically say we don't learn shiurim from the Mishkan. The shiurim Chazal figured out misfara what the shiurim were, but we don't typically learn them from the Mishkan. Now, I'm going to say something now, which is again a loaded statement, but it could be that whether we learn the shiur of shteyosis from the Mishkan might depend on this chakira we're posing right now. If it's just a din and shiurim of chashivas, then we should not derive that from the Mishkan. If it's part of the fabric of the malacha, then maybe we should derive that from the Mishkan. Maybe it would be learned out from the Mishkan. So I'm giving a loaded answer to a loaded question, meaning a good question, but I don't have enough time to elaborate. But fine. Daniel,
you had a question? Yeah, I mean, in the marking understanding, isn't the very definition of defective it being two letters, which at least your thing of sex, mean the most minimal definition of language, wouldn't that reject any idea of marking as meaning you indicated that any marking which is significant to indicate a piece of information but is not considered language, whatever that means, that's considered malacha. But yet here our very minimal definition of a malacha is two letters implying some minimal shear of language.
Are you asking according to Rabbi Yossi that wouldn't fit with Rabbi Sachs's Hesber? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yes, I think you're correct, but Rabbi Sachs is saying a Chanami. I mean, Rabbi Yossi is arguing on a conceptual level with the Chachamim. They're arguing about what is the Yisod of the Malacha. According to the Chachamim, it's about language. So language needs two letters to have a conceivable word. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, it's about marking and it's matching. In the Mishkan, they were matching. So you'd have to figure out if Rabbi Yossi needs two marks, it might have to do with the ability to match things up. To have two marks working in tandem with each other. So you're raising a question. In Rabbi Yossi, it would be a different conception. That's why I made the disclaimer, we're in the Shittas Chachamim, but in a Chanami, you're right.
Okay.
Josh, you have a question? Okay, fine. Okay, so we had this suggestion of the Achronim to answer the question of Tosfos, and now, Reparnas pointed out, you always have to swing it back to Tosfos and emphasize that Tosfos obviously didn't give this answer. Tosfos raised the question, why was Malachas Kosev? Why was Azir spelled out by Kosev? And he knew that you could have given such an answer, but he didn't give the answer. So there's a diag that Tosfos is not accepting the Chiddush of the Achronim, and he's working with the first Tzad in this Chakira. That according to Tosfos, the need for two Osios by Malachas Kosev is not part of the definition of the Malacha, but it's a din and chashivitz. It's a requirement to do a significant act. Even one letter in principle would have been a malacha, but you need two letters for the sake of significance. And so the malacha is no different than all the other malachos. The shir by Kosev is no different than the other malachos. And so Tosfos had a very good question. So then why did the Mishnah spell it out here and not elsewhere? And he leaves off without an answer. This was his conception. He had a problem and he didn't give an answer because he didn't have an answer. So that was the diagra Parnas made in the Shita of Tosfos. And so taking a step back, if we play this ping pong game between Tosfos and the Achronim, we're coming out with now is two approaches, how to understand the need for two letters by Malachas Kosev. According to Tosfos, the Diak and Tosfos, Tosfos is holding it's a din and chashivas, that it's a need for significance to do a significant act, whereas the Achronim are suggesting an alternative that maybe it's not a need for chashivas, it's part of the definition of the Malacha. So that's what we're crunching, that's what we're coming out with in analyzing Tosfos here on Daf Ayin Gimel. And now, for the last 10 minutes, so we'll try and just point out two nafgaminas in this chakira, in this machlokas now, as to what's the nature of this requirement for two letters by Malachas Kosev. Fine. So nafgamina number one is the classic nafgamina that all the Achronim point out, and that Rabbi Sachs likes to emphasize, and that is the issue of chatzi shir, the classic issue of chatzi shir. Just to quickly spell it out, we know that there's a classic issue in Kol Tarek Kulo. In many areas of halacha, there's a certain shear that has to be performed to violate in Aveira. By Yom Kippur, you have to eat a certain amount to violate the Isra to eat on Yom Kippur. By Macholos Asuros, you have to eat a certain amount of Nevela to violate the Isra of Macholos Asuros. And the question becomes, what if you don't achieve that requisite amount? What is the halachic perspective on chatzi shear? So the Gemara in Yoma brings the Machlokas Amaraim. We'll focus on Rabbi Yochanan Shita. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan, chatzi shear is Aser min HaTorah. That even if you don't perform the full requisite shear, it's still aser min haTorah. You're just not going to get punished for it, but it's still an iser deraisa to do any act of iser, even if it's less than the requisite shear. Now, there's a big discussion in the Achronim if and how the iser of chatzi shear applies to Malachas Shabbos. I put on the Mar Makomos a Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha references the fact that there's a big discussion in the Achronim as to if and how the iser of chatzi shear applies to Malachas Shabbos, and the Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion based on most Mefarshim that the Isser, the Reis of Chatzi Shir, does apply to the Malachas of Shabbos. That if a person perform any of the Malachas of Shabbos with a Chatzi Shir, that is going to be Aser de Reisa. Just to make a quick Sephardi shout out for Eitan Razi, so Rav Avadi Yosef is actually Paskins, not like that. Rav Avadi Yosef Paskins that Chatzi Shir is Aser de Rabbanan by Shabbos. So I guess Sephardim versus Ashkenazim on this one. I guess, so who am I to say that Rov Mefarshim hold like the Be'er Halacha, Rav Avadia Yosef Kedarko brings a lot of Mefarshim the other way, but the Be'er Halacha brings many, many Mefarshim that say the Chatzis Shir's Aser Deraisa by Melech HaShabbos, so that's what we will work for, I guess, since I'm Ashkenazi. Okay, so based on that, the Achronim and the Rishonim really discussed the issue of what about Chatzis Shir by Melech's Kosev. Thank you, Eitan. So the question is, what's the issue of Chatzis Shir by Melech's Kosev? If a person would write a single letter on Shabbos, so would that be Aser Deraisa or not? Would this be a good solution for a doctor who has to write on Shabbos? So would that help him a little bit if he writes a single letter or not? What's the halacha of Chatzis Shir by Melech's Shabbos? So the truth of the matter is that there's a machlokas Rishonim on this issue between the Meiri versus Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Meiri and Daf Gimel Amud Beis holds that this is Aser Deraisa, that writing a single letter on Shabbos is Aser Deraisa based on Chatzis Shir, whereas Rabbeinu Yerucham holds that it's Aser Midrabanan. Rabbeinu Yerucham says that writing a single letter is Aser Midrabanan. The Be'er Halacha, he actually references this. He's bothered by Rabbeinu Yerucham. He says, Rabbeinu Yerucham, you yourself write that Chatzis Shir is Aser Deraisa by Melech Shabbos. Why are you writing that a single letter is only Aser Derabanan when you hold that Chatzis Shir applies to Melech Shabbos? So that he leaves off Sarachian, Ksas Kasha, on Rabbeinu Yerucham, why he says that. But nonetheless, there's this machlokas has shown him whether writing a single letter is Aser Deraisa or Aser Derabanan. So the Achronim all point out that this machlokas has shown him is going to come down to our Chakira as to what's the nature of Shtei Osios. So just to spell it out, if you go with the first sad in our Chakira, if the need for two letters is a requirement for significance, it's a din in Chashivas, that really one letter in principle is a malacha, just it's not significant. You need two letters for significance. So that would certainly be subject to the Isser of Chatzis Shir. That's the classic example of Chatzis Shir, where you did the whole Maisa Malacha, just you didn't do a significant amount, where we say Chatzis Shir Aser Min HaTorah. And so that would be the Shita of the Meiri, that it's a din in Chashivas like Tosfos. On the other hand, if you move over to the second sad, the Shita of the Achronim, that really two letters is part of the definition of the malacha. It's a malacha of writing two letters, writing, you know, the ability to write a word is the malacha. If you write a single letter, that's not going to be a ma'isa malacha at all. That's not going to be subject to Chatzis Shir, because Chatzis Shir is when you do the entire iser, just an insignificant amount. But if you don't even do the entire iser, you do what's called Chatzis malacha. You didn't do the entire malacha. You started the malacha, you didn't finish the malacha. That's not subject to the Isser of Chatzis Shir, and that would be at best an Isser Derabanan. And so that would be the Shita of Rabbeinu Yerucham, that it's only Isser Derabanan in this situation, because there's a localized vort by Melech's Kosev. You need two letters to be the definition of the Malacha. One letter doesn't define the Malacha, and that would answer up the Be'er Halacha's question. Be'er Halacha asked, how could Rabbeinu Yerucham say it's only Isser Derabanan to write a single letter? Don't you agree that Chatzis Shir is Isser Min HaTorah by Hilcha Shabbos? You wrote it yourself. The answer is, of course he agrees Chatzis Shir is Isser Min HaTorah by Melech HaShabbos. But Rabbeinu Yerucham is going to hold like the second side in the Chakira, that by Kosev there's a localized issue, that the definition of the Melech is two letters. One letter doesn't even define an act of Kosev. It's not going to be subject to Chatzis Shir. This is Chatzis Melech. So that is Nafkamina number one. In this Chakira, the issue of whether writing a single letter is going to be Aser Deraisa like the Meiri, or whether Aser Derabanan like Rabbeinu Yerucham, based on this whole discussion. Yasis.
Just quickly to clarify, when we are discussing between one and two letters, does that mean like next to each other or in one time frame?
Okay, excellent question. These are Gemaras on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. They all discussed that question head on. I guess we'll have to see if we can get to that, but it's a very, very good question. I think in 2 weeks we're going to discuss that issue. Excellent. But for now, we'll call it next to each other, but it's not going to have to be next to each other. Your question is going to play directly into the Shaila of opening books that have stamps on the sides, like writing on the sides of letters of books, opening and closing it gets into Shaila Yassus just posed. So we'll, in 2 weeks, we'll get to that. Okay. So let's quickly just get to our second nafkamina now. For the sake of time, so I'm not going to spell out all the details. I'm just going to, bottom line, just the second nafkamina, and that is as follows. The Gemara on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis brings up a case which we once discussed, and we're just going to focus on another angle of that case very quickly. The Gemara has a case where you are in process of writing a sefer, a person's in the process of writing a sefer, and you just about finished the entire sefer minus one letter. The sefer is done minus one letter. And a person writes in the last letter on Shabbos. So this is the case of Kasev Os Achas Vishlima LeSefer. You write in the last letter of a Sefer on Shabbos, and this is Aser Daraisa. The Gemara says, based on a Braisa, that this is going to be Chayiv for violating one of the Malachos. Which Malacha do you violate when you fill in the last letter of a Sefer? So we discussed this in the first Shir Amakim Patish. I'm not going to spell out all the background also just because of time, but just the bottom line, our Shitas from last time, we had a Machlokas between the Meiri versus Rashi, which Malacha is violated in the situation. Working with the Shita of the Meiri, Meiri says that in this situation, you're going to violate the Malacha of Kosev. That in this case, writing one letter will be Chayiv for Kosev. Since you're finishing an entire Sefer, that's going to be subject to the Malacha of Kosev. Whereas we were medayik once a number of weeks ago, the Rashi argues in the Meiri, Rashi holds that in this situation, you're going to violate the Malacha of Makab Patish. That Makab Patish tells us anytime you finish the production of an item, that's Makab Patish. In this situation, you're involved in producing a Sefer, you filled in the last word, last letter, that's an act of Makab Patish, that's the violation in the situation. So Ayin Sham in the app for the background of that machlokas, but we had a machlokas Meiri versus Rashi as to which malacha is violated in the situation. And we discussed that in the Makab Patish Sugya to focus on the Makab Patish aspect of this machlokas. But now in Malachas Kosev, so we'll now focus on the Malachas Kosev aspect of this machlokas. We have a machlokas now as to if writing a single letter and thereby finishing an entire Sefer is subject to Malachas Kosev. The Meiri is saying that in this situation, one letter will violate Kosev, although typically you need two letters, but in this case, one letter will violate Malachas Kosev, whereas Rashi is holding that no, even in this situation, we're gung-ho, the Malacha has to be Makav Patish, not Malachas Kosev, despite the fact that you're finishing an entire Sefer, it's only one letter, it can't be Malachas Kosev. And the question becomes, what's the Hesber in that Machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the two Shailas, the two Tzadim, in this machlokas? So Rav Parnas once pointed out that this is also going to come back to our Chakira in Malachas Kosev. So just to go through the Chakira one last time, if you go with the first tzad in our Chakira, if we say that the reason you need two letters is because of significance, it's a din in Chashivas, that in principle, one letter is an act of Malachas Kosev, just you need two letters to be rendered a significant act. So now there's room for the Chiddush of the Meiri. We can say, listen, typically speaking, writing one letter is insignificant. Typically speaking, it's only significant if you write two letters. But if we can find a case where a single letter is very significant, has profound impact, then even one letter could violate Malachas Kosev. What would be an example where one letter is so significant? If you finish an entire Sefer, if you're writing a Sefer Torah and you fill in the last letter of a Sefer, you finish an entire Sefer, one letter has profound impact. So then one letter has chashivas that can violate the Malacha of Kosev. And so the Meiri would be l'shitaso. In the previous Nafkamina, we had the Meiri Bechatzi Shir saying one letter violates Chatzi Shir because he was going with the first side in the Chakira. And here too, the Meiri would be l'shitaso. It's all about significance. And so one letter could violate Malachas Kosev if it's a very profound activity. On the other hand, moving over now to the second side in the Chakira, if there's just an absolute rule that the definition of the Malacha needs two letters, you need to be able to build a word. So you need a minimum of two letters. Well, then, by definition, one letter is never going to be subject to Malachas Kosev because one letter is not two letters. You don't have the ability to build a word, even if it's a very profound, a very significant act that won't be subject to Kosev. And so that would be the explanation behind the Shita of Rashi. Rashi would hold like the second side in the Chakira. It's just the Tzura of the Malacha. The definition of the Malacha needs two letters. And so one letter will never violate Kosev. It must be a different Malacha in this situation. So with that, we've concluded tonight's discussion to kick off Malachas Kosev. These were all the fundamental principles of Kosev. And then Mirtz Hashem, next week and 2 weeks, we'll start getting into the practical Halacha L'maaseh Shailas of Kosev. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Have a Freilich and Purim.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Good to see you also, and everybody. Josh also. Good to see you, Josh.
Good to see you too, Josh.
Also, your mom is on fire tonight. Really, it's raises the whole level of Chabura.
You and Josh. Thank you so much. Okay. Great to be back.
Yes, you look great.
Yeah. You too.
Thank you.